identify the formations that are on the platform who take interest in the work of the subcommittee and the committee generally on communications. Fellow South Africans who may be following us on live streaming and other platforms. As I said, this is a subcommittee meeting that deals with the appointment process for the SABC board. As we know, the board's term of office expires the mid-October. So this subcommittee reports to the main committee in terms of the rules of the National Assembly. So which therefore means from this committee would later have a committee to give the report of the subcommittee in order for us to be able to have finality on the items we dealt with today and prepare us for the other days that would come in terms of the program. Honorable members, it therefore means that this being the subcommittee, it's also affected by rules of the National Assembly, which also includes the rules on virtual meetings. We are reminded that at all times we have to ensure that our mics are muted, our cameras are switched off until you are recognized to speak by the chairperson. In that score, you would then unmute your mic and switch on your video camera. For those that are following also the discussion, we could really also see the members or participants that are contributing. In this case, honorable members, we're also reminded then that in a situation where you experience connectivity challenges, you may request the permission of the chairperson to switch off your video camera so as to maximize your bandwidth. In situations where we may have participants or members disconnected, please ensure at all times when you reconnect to the meeting that your mic is muted, video camera switched off, as background sounds that could be picked up by mics could distract a speaker that may be on the platform at the time. In the nature of the meetings, there would be point of orders in terms of the rules. Please remember that you need to still mute your mic, even on a point of order, so that you are recognized by the chairperson. And in that score, you will then unmute your mic and proceed to raise the point of order on which the chairperson will rule upon in line with the rules. If we keep that, honorable members, it then helps us to run our meetings in a way that doesn't disrupt the proceedings. I would, without then a waste of time, as I said, you are my welcome. This is the subcommittee, as I said, put in terms of National Assembly rules. Would, for formality, check if there are any apologies that have been received. I do see that almost all members are here, all parties are here, except for one, and that's the member would have used another gadget to come in. But let's just take it for formal apologies received, if there are any.
Thank you, Chairperson. I received only one apology, Chairperson, from Honorable Pambo. He said he's traveling abroad. He won't be able to make it, but he did indicate that he will send one of the members to represent him. Thank you, Chair.
May I just check if that member is on the platform?
He gave me a name, but I don't see the member on the platform yet.
So that's fine. We will then, in that score, note that apology. As I said, almost all other parties are represented on the platform. As you'll be aware, maybe it's important for South Africans that the subcommittee is constituted proportional to the size of the party as per the elections of 2019. So in that score, we have the ANC with four. We have got the Democratic Alliance as represented one. We have got the EFF and the IFP, and we can confirm that they're present from the side of the ANC, starting with the chairman, Honorable Lala is on the platform, Honorable Dr. Basop on the platform, Honorable Tembo, representing Honorable Quebec, is on the platform. We have Honorable Kola Barnett, as a member of the Democratic Alliance on the platform. We have Honorable Majosi from the IFP, and as we have yet, we have an apology from Honorable Pambo from the EFF. So we have got quite a huge number present, which makes us to proceed with the meeting accordingly. Maybe would then be guided, if you would want to flight quickly the agenda. The agenda is looking at the shortlisting of candidates for the SABC board vacancies. I just want to check from the content people, because they had indicated in the previous meeting that we would get a briefing on Thursday. In that briefing, before we even get to the shortlisting itself, would also want the community support to confirm in relation to the list of nominees whether those indeed would have been sent to the members as agreed, and that the list we have are those that would have met the nomination criteria. So in that briefing, would also need that. I see Honorable Kola Barnett.
Good morning again. As we're talking about the main list, I've spoken to Portia. I was contacted by a Mr. John Matteson, who said he wanted to know if he was on the list, and I didn't see his name. And apparently, I think Portia should explain the process. He's apparently a former board member. So I wasn't sure if he was actually had now been put on the list or not. I wonder if you could clarify for me, please.
Like I said, Honorable Kola Barnett will then also get the briefing on that and then take up the matter at that point. So your point should be, as you indicate, you've had a discussion there. Should have to also speak to that specifically, and will make rulings where a need arises. But for now, I just wanted to check with the content advisors if they want to do that briefing now, and then allow for the committee support, then to take us to the list issues, and then get to the actual shortlisting. Dr. Ndubi, I see you.
Good morning. Good morning, Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members. Yes, indeed, Chair, we have a very, very brief presentation, you know, to make this morning, just to outline, you know, the process of the interviews. And indeed would, you know, through POSHI as well, would just give an indication of, you know, the total number of applicants and how many of those, you know, managed to apply, you know, within the stipulated, you know, time, and how many of those would, you know, would fall outside of, you know, the cutoff date. If I may, Chair, then ask POSHIA to, you know, to fly to the brief presentation. POSHIA? Can you put it on the presentation? Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Chair and the honourable members, we, you know, this is a very, very brief, as I've indicated, you know, presentation. It's the roadmap, you know, for the appointment process of the SABC board members. And this, this is dated, you know, on the 8th September, which is today. Next slide, Portia. With the term of the current board due to expire, as you all know, Chair, the PCC is tasked with ensuring that new SABC board members, you know, is nominated, or SABC board is nominated and appointment before end of the term of the current board. PCC, you know, as part of the planning, Chair, we are targeting the end setting of the 29th September for the consideration of the PCC report on appointment of non-executive board members of the SABC. Next slide, Portia. PCC advertised, as we all know, Chair, that the, you know, the advert went out and it was closed. I think it was given a, you know, a 2-week period, and it was closed on the 6th August 2022. We received a total of 120 nominations within the prescribed, you know, closing date. Then the PCC, you know, considered, that's what we recommended, about 36 candidates, which would be what would be shortlisted, you know, today as part of the shortlisting process. The 36 shortlisted will translate into at least about 3 candidates per SABC, both non-executive position. Interviews will be conducted, you know, based on the schedule that we have shared with the rest of the members over a 4-day, you know, period, and each and every candidate would be given about 45 minutes. Noting that some processes are dependent on other parliament services and other state institutions, this may have an impact on PCC targets for the term. We needed to note that specifically chair-based that we, based on the fact that we really are constrained, you know, with time, given that this appointment has got, or this process has to be finalized by the 15th of October. Next slide, Portia. As we all know, HR does not consider candidates who did not respond on the advert. Those are the, you know, the standing rules and requirements. No policy that talks on a number of candidates to be shortlisted for a position. We needed to emphasize that. Qualifications check will take about a period of, at the most, 5 days for local qualifications, and we are anticipating about, you know, at the most 3 weeks for international qualifications, if there's anybody, you know, who applied outside of, I mean, who applied, you know, and have international qualifications. Qualifications would be verified with MEI, which has a contract with the, you know, with Parliament, standing contract with Parliament. Consent forms would be sent to candidates immediately after the committee has completed the shortlisting. Job profile is used as a criteria for shortlisting. In the case of the SABC board, the Broadcasting Act, as would all know, Chair, would be used. The next slide, Portia. The Broadcasting Act, as you all know, the SABC is governed by the Broadcasting Act, Act 4 of 1999. Section 13, subsection 1, sets out that 12 non-executive members of the board must be appointed by the President on the advice of the National Assembly. Section 13, subsection 2 sets out that the non-executive members of the board must be appointed in a manner ensuring that participation, first of all, participation by the public, participation by the public in a nomination process, that there's transparency and openness, and that a short list of candidates for appointment is published, taking into account the objects and principles of this very act. Section 13, subsection 4 sets out the requirements of the individuals required to serve on the SABC board. It stated that the members of the board must, when viewed collectively, be persons who are suited to serve on the board by virtue of their qualifications, expertise, experience in the field of broadcasting policy and technology, broadcasting regulation, media law, frequency planning, business practice and finance, marketing, journalism, entertainment and education, social and labor issues. And those are the requirements which have also been outlined, you know, as part of the, you know, the advert that went out. That person must be persons who are committed, first of all, to fairness, freedom of expression, the right of the public to be informed, and openness and accountability on the part of those holding public office. That person must represent a broad cross-section of the population of the public, must be persons who are committed to the object and principles as enunciated in the Charter of the Cooperation. Next slide, Portia. Now, so we've really outlined, you know, in a schematic diagram, a process that would ordinarily, you know, be followed, you know, under normal circumstances. First of all, it would be, you know, from the far left, Parliament initiated to appoint SABC non-executive board members. The next step would be resolution B, which is number of candidates to be shortlisted. And in this instance, we are really anticipated about at the most the B36 nomination as outlined earlier on. There will be deliberation as the next step, deliberations of 36 nominees, which is what's going to be happening today. As soon as those names are confirmed, the chair will then get them published for public participation and comment. The next step would then be public participation process review and deliberation. That is under normal circumstances. And the next step would then be the HR processes, which would have to kick in. And that would be immediately followed by the conducting of the actual interviews. There will then be a report on the 12 SABC non-executive board members at the end of the interview process. And then there will be a resolution, which is appointment of 12 SABC non-executive board members, then that would be the end of the process. And important to make members aware, Chair, that as indicated, you know, earlier on in one of the minutes, that given the time frame that we are faced with, we are, you know, likely to really to find ourselves having to run some of these processes concurrently. Next slide, Portia. Now, this is yet again just to emphasize on the shortlisting process, you know, processes, Chair. Today, what will be happening is the actual shortlisting, and there will be 1A, there will be qualification verification check processes that will need to be undertaken. There would then be, nominee logistics processes that will also, you know, happen as part of the, you know, the overall processes. There will be state security as a consultation process. There will be interview preparation logistics. And, you know, given all that, Chair, on the what is, you know, on color blue, there will be public participation process, which is planned for a period of 2 weeks from the 8th September up until the 22nd September. That's what, in a nutshell, Chair, the bottom block as well is emphasizing on. Next slide, Portia. The high-level business process, our business process is yet again, Chair, is a shortlisting, is a qualification and verification check process, state security, consultation process, public participation process, the interview process, which is block number 4, deliberations processes, which is slide number 5, and then the National Assembly adoption process. And that has been, you know, outlined as a schedule that has been shared with the rest of the members. Can you go to the next slide, Portia? Now, just to emphasize on the date, Chair, and on the high-level, you know, business processes and the timelines, 8 September is the shortlisting process. That is what is happening today. Between the 8th and the 22 September is the qualification checks, the state security clearance process, the public participation process. Between the 13th and the 16th September, as you know, outlined on the, you know, in on the schedule, it's the actual interview processes. On the 26th September, those will be that'll be the date set aside for deliberations, and we are earmarking, you know, given that we now really are constrained, 4 time chairs, that by the 29th September, the overall report would then be, you know, be tabled for the National Assembly adoption. Next slide, Portia. Chair, just to re-emphasize, this is the last slide. On the committee activity, the time frame, the expected outcome. Today, which is Tuesday the 8th, will be the, you know, the actual shortlisting process of the 36 nominees. And between the 8th September and the 22 September will be the qualifications, verification, state security clearance, and the public participation process. All 36 nominated candidates would have been consulted, and qualifications and vetting verified and cleared. All 36 candidates have received CVs uploaded to the Parliament website for public comments, and all 36 nominated candidates would have been contacted and their respective slots confirmed. Interview of shortlisted candidates nominated to serve on the board, that's the next committee activity, that is on Tuesday the 13th, between the 13th and the 16th of September, and each candidate will be afforded at the most 45 minutes, you know, during the interview process. 36 candidates would be interviewed over 4 days, with a total of 27 hours allocated for the entire interview process. Deliberation on the interview candidates to be recommended for appointment to the SABC board and adoption of reports recommending candidates for appointment to the SABC board. That's the next activity. That will happen on the Monday, the 26th, September 2022, between 9 o'clock and 1 o'clock. And 12 candidates recommended for NA consideration. That's the expected outcome. And the last activity will then be the NA adoption of 12 nominated candidates, which is Tuesday, the 29th September 2022. 12 candidates recommended by NA to the President to serve on the SABC board. That's the end of the presentation, Chair. If there's any questions, then the support staff, we are all ready to assist and respond to questions and clarify any matters that needs to be clarified. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Madubi. I will now invite Portia before I take hands. Portia to complete the part as it relates to the list and so on. Thereafter, I'll then open so that you ask on the full presentation. Portia, because there were specific questions raised already earlier on. Speak to that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members and colleagues. Chairperson, the closing date for the call for nominations was the 6th of August at 4 o'clock. And at that time, we received a total of 120 nominations. And after the closing time, we received some nominations which they didn't meet the deadline, about 10 of those nominations that were late, but I've noted them aside. I didn't include them on the on the list because they didn't meet the deadline. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Portia, may I then invite members who want to be clarified or make comments? I see Honourable Colour Bennett. Your hand is up. You are recognised. You can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. I'm interested in the SSA consultation process. Do these members of the board have to have a specific level of security clearance, or are you looking at a general background check in terms of criminal records, etc., debt, anything that could have an impact on their position? And also, going through the list that I received late on Tuesday, in fact, there are a number of nominations that appear twice. I saw at least three, I think. So there weren't actually 120 applications in total. And I'm also interested, because of I was contacted by this Mr. Batterson, what the situation is in terms of perhaps not getting the paperwork in a few hours late or whatever. Could you just clarify on that matter? Thank you.
Chairperson?
Thank you very much. Chairperson, honourable members, firstly, I just want to confirm the duplication of some members who are appearing twice on the list, and also I don't have the copy of the presentation. I don't know whether any problem is with you on the thank you.
Thank you, honourable Dr. Bosco.
Chair.
Yes, honourable Mutimbu, you are recognised.
Good morning, Chair, and all members of the committee. Mine is to just welcome a presentation as it was clear, and I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mutembo. Would I give an opportunity to for the committee support to respond to those that they can respond to. I'll then come later on that. But in the meantime, just ensure once again that the presentation is circulated to all members. Can I start with you, Dr. Mutu?
Thank you very much, Chair. And I would also request that Mr. Maleka assist in that score. To honourable members, in as far as the security clearance is concerned, our understanding is that, and I think Mr. Malik would emphasise on that, the basic security clearance, which is your criminal, in the main, you know, your criminal checks, in the main. But having said that, I would also want to confirm to you that we would have to go back and look into the list. When we counted, you know, between myself, Portia, and the rest of the support staff, we had indeed, kind of 120, but would definitely go back and verify on those numbers. And as Portia has indicated, Chair, there are those that are, you know, that were put aside, about 10 of those that were, you know, that responded or applied outside of the cutoff date. May I then, Chair, allow Mr. Maleka just to add, you know, to add in terms of, you know, the actual process of the vetting where I might have missed out anything. Thank you, Chair.
Lincoln. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. Apologies for not showing the video. I'm actually not in the meeting, so I'm in and out of the meeting as I'm trying to maneuver myself. In terms of the security clearance, Honourable Members, as far as we know, it's just a general background criminal record check. But I think it's a foregone conclusion that the security checks actually happen at various levels. For our level, it's only to check whether there's any criminal background. of any of the nominations. And it's just, I think it's their generic SSA check, but I know that the department also does their own security vetting, including with together with the president. So however, I think it's the first layer, first level of the checking, if they answer the questions. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Malinga. Ms. Tabeni?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'll try and answer Dr. Basopo's question about duplication. I captured the nominations separately because they had been nominated by different people. So I took it as separate nominations. So that's how I captured it on the list. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honourable members, for the questions that they've asked and got clarified on. Maybe we should then agree that first and foremost, an advert was out and it had a closing date. And therefore, anybody who comes outside of the closing date would not be a person to be considered because people were responding to an advert and it had timelines. Of course, where there may be an argument raised, Honorable Kola Barnett, by this member's side, with you, it's indeed within your right to raise that, which is something we can be able to look at. But if it's outside of the cut-off date, it's not possible to look at. Otherwise, for every South African who may have been left out, even by today, they can still make submission. But if there's confirmation that this was done within the cut-off date, I think there's a way that we can handle it when we deal with principles of how we'll approach the shortlisting. I'm not sure if you are trying to stop me from speaking because I'm on the platform. Honorable Kulabanat, I see your hand.
I'm certainly not trying to stop you speaking. I would never do such a thing. I just had a question which I wanted to ask about that process. I'm not sure if that person, who is a former board member apparently, had contacted the office before the due date. I don't know what the process was, but I could look into it. Would I then write to you and fill in the details and say, does this warrant an appeal? Or what process do I follow? That's what guidance I need. Thank you.
Okay. Like I said, we'd certainly tell you that when we look at principles, we would approach the shortlisting one. Honorable Blanc, I'll see your hand.
Thanks, Chairperson, and good morning, Honorable Chair, and good morning to honorable members and colleagues, including the support staff. My question, Chair, relates to what Dr. Basopo raised. I was not quite comfortable with the response. Maybe I did not understand the response. Is the response saying that if you are nominated four times, you are appearing four times in the list in terms of duplication? Or is it saying there's an error in terms of the duplication, because if I understood and Mme Tabeni's response, she's saying we captured them as they were nominated by various people. So if that can be clarified for me, it will be okay. But maybe I don't know, Chairperson, you saying that you deal with Honorable Barnard's question, because I don't want the situation where we start the process and later on there's appeals and so on. if that can be verified. In the meantime, we deal with other issues. Why can't the support staff just verify that and then give a clear response so that we don't come back to the same issue that we're supposed to deal with today? But I don't know if dealing with it in principles include that. With that, I will be covered, Chair. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Honorable Mlala. Like I was saying, I was still just dealing with the points that have been raised just to make sure that we can get back to everything. So by principle, I mean that the point raised here relates to the current 7 members of the board. You'll do the verification. But from what COVID support staff would have indicated, it's people who would have applied after the cut-off date would have been put aside and not included on the list. Then if there's proof that the person would have been in the list within the cut-off date and probably not captured, that will be a different matter. The point of principle I want to talk to is that in any way, if you look at what has been presented by Dr. Mitubi, surely if there are members of the board currently serving who have shown interest in reapplying to be in the board, because the term comes to an end. So it's not automatic that if you are in the board, all members of the board would, they may not have interest, some of them, to come back, but others may have interest. So you'll find it very difficult as a matter of principle to exclude those that have reapplied from a point of qualification, because in any way they are serving in the board because they qualified, they met what the legislative requirements so, as a matter of principle, you'd be able to cover that. Now, in a case that it's proven that this member of the board would have reapplied in the sense that the board member was nominated by whoever would have nominated and was within the cutoff date, he will seek to include that member. But if it is outside of the cutoff date, you would have to treat that person like all other South Africans who would have applied and not done that within the cutoff date, so that there is no question about it. Because an appeal will be on exclusion when you are within the cutoff date. So I want, when they come back, maybe get to whether that name is within the 10, and like Honorable Kolabana is asking whether, besides interacting with her as a member of the subcommittee, whether, as required, would have also interacted with the administration. So I'm doing this so that when that response comes, we can then move from this point. So if we can agree as a matter of principle, those who have strictly qualified because they are current serving, they met the requirements at that time when the advert was out, and nothing has changed in terms of legislation, so we're still using the same legislation that qualified them to be a board member. So I'm raising that, Honorable Mlala, the principle issue in that context. Maybe Portia will still come back to explain this point. But my understanding from the position of the chair is that what she's explaining is they tried to put together a list that shows transparency of the process, that they capture the nominations as received, so that there is no point that a particular grouping that nominated, its nomination would have not been considered, because it's different groupings, different people that are making nominations. Yes, they may be looking at that the same candidate. But just remember that for purposes of our shortlisting, we are looking at a particular number, and therefore the number of nominations received by one person would not be a material issue, because it's only one person to be considered for shortlisting, not the number of nominations for the shortlisting. So I'm just saying, probably it's an issue of transparency, because you would know that before there would have been questions even about people that have been excluded at the time, who were excluded on the basis that they were not really responding to the advert, and members would demand to know why have they been excluded before coming to the committee itself. So I think administration gets caught up in that situation of balancing, yes, what needs to be done, but the demands to have transparency of the process on how you arrived at candidates. So I thought that it's important we clarify those so that we do not spend time on those numbers, whether this means that this person will probably have an unfair advantage to others because of the number of nominations captured. Now we're looking at the same person when we look at the shortlisting. But as I said, Ms. Ndabeni, you may want to speak specifically to those questions if they are not
Can you hear me?
Yes, Dr. Honorable Basu, I have given you an opportunity to speak.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. I am clear and very comfortable by your explanation. But there's the area that we have not addressed. If I got the question clearly from the Honorable Member, it goes further to say, in fact, who is supposed to lodge a complaint is the applicant or our liberty, we as members, to write, because there is that element in this question, which I believe it needs to be clarified now. If I got here correctly, there is that element in her question. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Basup. Let me then allow first the committee support to respond to those specifics if they are not covered by the summer. Ms. Ndabeni, if you want to come in, and then I will get the content advisors to speak to the matter.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. With regards to the list, Chair, you are correct. I've captured the nominations as they come. So everything that I was received in the mailbox, I have captured it as received. So that's why then you'll find that some of the names are not necessarily duplicated, but it's different. Nominations, but maybe the same person nominated, but by different organizations or persons. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson.
Oh, it's like I'm talking to myself.
I've been talking.
So sorry for that. I hope it's not indicating that I'll be cut off from the meeting. I think that Mr. Darin has responded to that question. But just to be on the question that is raised by Honorable Dr. Basop as a follow-up to what Honorable Kolabana would have raised. I take it that Honorable Members, as the subcommittee members, who have a task of playing a role of adjudicating on this service, these nominees, and make recommendations in terms of shortlisting. If there was to be any appeal process, it is my considered view that it will not be a member of a committee that is supposed to be looking at all applicants equally and make a determination that demonstrates fairness and equal treatment of people. So in this case, it would mean that it will either be the organization or the person that nominated, or the nominee himself or herself, in case of making up an appeal. Because then the appeal will be based on circumstances surrounding that nomination, when it was done, how it was done. And I suspect that because as members we did not nominate, it wouldn't be in our purview, clearly. Of course, it's a matter we may want to also test with legal, but I'm just saying from the point of practice where you are presiding on a matter and that you become a complainant at the same time, that will just be outside of rules of natural justice, that you can preside on your case. So I think I would have accepted that any member could be approached and raised the issue because you are known to be in the committee, but it doesn't make us to be representatives of complaints by nominees that we are to consider ourselves whether they do qualify to be shortlisted by the committee. I hope that helps, but like I'm saying, if members think we need to get legal advice on that, that we can do as we proceed. But we still need to give confidence to South Africans that we are looking at these South Africans that have been nominated from a point of being fair in the way we look at them. We treat them equally as they come before the committee. The same would apply as we get to the other steps, that it will be on the basis of that, so that even their performance, we can give guarantee to South Africans that there would be no sense of bias because we are not the people that have been nominating those people, but we are considering what is brought before us. So even with presentations that parties make or members make, the understanding is that it's on the basis of a list that they've received, considered it, and believe that the following are candidates to consider for an interview. And therefore, on the basis of their performance in the interviews and everything else considered, these are the people we make recommendations on. So I want to guide the meeting in that way. And Honorable Kolabana seems satisfied with that, that it would be from the side of the committee, but probably advise the nominee or those who they've nominated in case that's the case. But like I said, on principle, if we do agree to the principle that those that are currently serving in the board would have met the requirements to be in the board, and therefore if they've reapplied, as a matter of principle, you'd have considered them as first in the number we're talking about. So if this is proven then to be within the cutoff date, it will be easy to consider on the basis of that principle. So I'm raising it in that way. May I take it that members we are agreed on the approach, so that we actually get to the point of the shortlisting, understanding that you also have other commitments beyond 10, and there's also a committee sitting again, just I think around 1 before we get to the sitting. So if there's no other follow-ups, can we then move to the next point on
preparation?
Yes, Honorable Machozi.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry, I can't raise my hand. I'm not sure what's happening with my gadget, and we don't have electricity here at Acacia, so can I switch off my video? I hear you when you say if maybe the other 10, within the other 10 members, if maybe others would have applied maybe within the cutoff date, and maybe now we are not considering time, but we are considering just on that day of the cutoff. And then I would also ask that maybe they provide us with the 10 so that we also add them on the list, because now we are going to shortlist. We do not know of the 10 whether, because they didn't respond, whether this 10 that they put aside, they received the application on the day of the cutoff, or what was happening. So I want us to have a clarity on that. Did they include the 10 here, or are we still going to get the 10 people that had applied at that time? And also so that it makes the process easier for shortlisting. If those people applied on that day, and then we must then include them here so that we do the shortlisting. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Honorable Machozi. I do understand the point you are raising, that you may have had connectivity issues at the Acacia Park, and may have missed some of the points raised. But I'll ask them to repeat so that it's not like my own interpretation. That the 10 is people that were outside of the cutoff date, not on the cutoff date, outside of the cutoff date, which may be days or so after the cutoff date. But Ms. Ndamene and Dr. Mitupi, I'm not sure if you'd want to just quickly clarify the member. Otherwise, as it relates to other members of the board, those who had the interest would have applied within the cutoff date, as you would have seen in the list you received. Mr. David or Dr. Mitubi?
If I may, Honorable Chair and the rest of the members, Chair, the 10 that is sitting on a separate basket, if I may call it, and we can confirm also with supporting electronic evidence in this instance, that the 10 that we have put aside, they applied outside of the prescribed date, which is the 6th August. Unfortunately, now on the emails received or the submissions that are received, there would be for the 10. Timestamp that we can provide just to make sure that, for completeness, that there's enough evidence that indeed the 10 that is sitting on a separate basket, those applied outside of the cutoff date and the cutoff time as indicated on the advert. I'm not too sure if Ms. Ntabeni would want to add on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Ms. Ntabeni.
Thank you, Chair. The 10 nominations, some of them were received on the same date, on the same closing date, but they missed the closing time. Most of the, because the closing time was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So some of the nominations were received like at 10 at night, or after 8 or after 6 in the evening. So they missed the closing time on the day. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Ndabeni. Honorable members, I would like to guide that we proceed on the basis that we do not want to open the process to time, date, and clear details of where you sent the info. And it can be proven that you were outside of those prescribed times. That inclusion may create an unnecessary problem, which may just render the whole process quite difficult to proceed with. Like I say, late submission can also be argued by a person who can submit today. That yes, I'm late, but I submitted. So that, especially the numbers we talk about, let's allow ourselves to use what could be defended as a legitimate, fair process, because those who also tried to meet the timelines would have to be respected, that they respected the advert and responded accordingly. So I would want us to really move from this point so that we get to the part of the list and then just agree how we are approaching the actual shortlisting. Honorable members, like I said, maybe the one I'm just going to present polls so that we can have an agreement and move to the actual presentations of this. The first point I would have raised, which I would want to test with members, as I said, in those that have applied or nominated within the timelines that have been put on the advert, and were seen to be responsive to the advert in that they are in the list provided to us. That where we have current serving members, you would not be able to argue against them in terms of the qualification criteria, as they are already serving members of the board, which does not necessarily talk to them being considered favorably before an interview. So we should have clarity on that. But from a point of qualifying to be shortlisted, the fact that they are serving would mean that they did meet those requirements in any way. Then the assessment would be in the interviews, like all other countries would be assessed in that way. So I want to check if we agree on that as a principle. So that as we look at the 36, we can get an indication that this would have qualified in that score. The second point really would be that we would want to still take the similar approach we usually take, that members would have considered the service and from point of parties present, and would look at it from a point of where the agreements are across, and then grade that to the level where it will be probably 3 or 2 or 1 party on that name, and look at balancing also the skills, the geography, the demographics in terms of non-racial character and so on. So that the list in the true sense, by all means, trying to address inclusivity. I think more than the elimination of people, we are looking at more of inclusiveness, so that we have quite a variety of people to look at who come before the committee. We will, of course, when we get to that number, 36, make a consideration as the committee based on the discussions, if we would really want there's a strong feeling to consider particular candidates, but would not go shortly beyond 40 or so. So this is what has happened in the committee before, in trying to ensure that we have a balanced list. Just for your own benefit, Honorable Colin Barnett, at all times we have tried to avoid voting on the names, but more to persuade each other, as we all represent South Africans, but of course under different parties. This is so because the issue about numbers is not an issue, because the electorate has already given the numbers. So we shouldn't be playing the numbers. So voting is usually the last resort when people can be persuaded. But we have not had that situation before, because we try to be accommodative of each other, but be able to present to South Africans what we think are the best from amongst the best that have come before the committee. So I just thought it's important that I clarify those as we will get to the presentations of the list. But I would also want, as I said, for you to comment on the principles, honourable members, so that once we have agreed, then we get to the list, we don't go back. May I then recognize hands to comment on the principles so that we agree on them. And the disagreement, we can engage on that. So I'm inviting those who want to speak. Honorable Colin Barnett, one. Can I just check if there's any other member? You can proceed in the meantime.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I do think all the interviews on the shortlist should be done from a clean slate. I don't believe that former board members, or the board hasn't been dissolved yet, but current board members should be just given free passage through. Things happen over years and situations change, and I would like to be able to score the, 30 or 40, whatever we end up with as a shortlist, the number equally on a stick matrix, to make up my own mind whether I agree that those people should be back on the board or not. So I would not want to give a free ride straight through without actually doing an interview, so that everybody can see it's an even-handed process. To my mind, that is showing favoritism, and I don't think we should allow that at this stage. Thank you very much.
Any member who would want to contribute?
Let's proceed, Chair. We're clear.
Yeah, no, let's proceed, Jefferson.
Okay. I take it that then the members agree to the principles. Those who are saying we should proceed. Honorable Colin Barnett will take note of what you are raising. But indeed, as explained, there's nothing about any favoritism that we have spoken to thus far. Today we are dealing with the shortlisting, not the placement of people in the board. Of course, if these members are not considered, they are not considered based on an assessment equally like all other people that will come before the committee. But what we try and do is to have points where there can be points of agreement. So we'll register your disagreement in that regard. but we should be able to proceed.
May I just have clarity, Chair, if I may?
Perhaps I
misunderstood. Were you saying that the if there are any current or former board members, they should automatically be put through onto the board, or were you saying they should automatically be put on the short list? Perhaps I misunderstood.
I suspect, because you are bringing in an appointment itself or recommendation for appointment. The point we are making is that we need to have some grounds where we agree on, one of those being that if they are currently serving, you would have no justification of saying disqualification from a point of just shortlisting. The interview assessment will be a different point because there you have to score people according to their performance and how they've interacted with the committee. So it was just about the list itself of the 36 of 40, whatever would then get to be agreeing upon. That is the starting point. That's where we start. And you remember that when you say that, you are also including those that you've just appointed to complete the remainder of a term, which we still have to assess through an interview process. They've just been through interviews, as an example. So it's not to give them an unfair advantage, I think I've explained, but it's really that it's a matter of principle, and that we get also new people. That's what the 36 of 40 would give us, who will also assess equally like them in the actual interviews. And I'm sure between me and you, you would know that if you are reapplying, you are the person that is really on the hot seat, more than people who comes in an institution, because there's also some background that people would have about how the board and how they perceive the board throughout its term. I hope that clarifies. So it's really not about free marches. I think that's why other members won't agree that we proceed in that way. So we keep in point in mind that this is what we would have done in approach, but that doesn't mean those people could be appointed even before who came before the committee, because they needed to perform like all other South Africans who are coming before the committee. I hope that clarifies. Honourable Colonel Barnett?
I just want to say thank you. Yes, it does. I misunderstood what you were saying at the outset. I'm very satisfied with what you with the process now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable Colonel Barnett. Can we then, Honourable Members, move on those bases? The approach would be, like I said, would be to get presentations and present the number of names you want to present. Would start. I see the EFF. Can I just check first if that person is in? Ms. Ndabeni, the person you are dealing with?
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Tambo had given me the name of Lorato, Honorable Lorato Tito, and I see she's on the platform. I hope.
She's on the platform. All right. Yeah. We'll then do like we usually do, we'll take presentations from parties, starting with the ANC, followed by the Democratic Alliance, followed by the AFF, and then the IFP. Content advisors, like they would do, or committee support, they'll create a spreadsheet so that all the names, as they get presented, they are captured, and then from there we are able to look at the elimination process, starting with those that are agreed by all parties, and then up to the last name. I hope that's clearer, as I give yourselves an opportunity to look at the next huge present. Honourable Colour Barnett?
Just one question, Chair. Are we simply looking at the names at this stage? No reasons need to be given, no justification, simply a list of chosen names per party. Am I correct in that?
Yes, Honourable Colour Barnett, the parties would have looked at different aspects in order for them to motivate for such a list. They would be able to say that as they present their list. Otherwise, it's about the presentation of the list, having considered everything else, qualification, the skills needed in the board, the demographics, all that taken into account, and they would have arrived at particular names. So it's not a matter of forcing the party to state for each name. The 36Y would look at this. So they would have looked at it collectively, that collective represents different skills and everything else. But we do not sense really what you want to put as your motivation for the list. So you'll still be free to motivate in the way you do want to. Yes, Honourable Collaborator.
Thank you, Chair. I just would like it put on record that I received the full list of, well, we'll call it 120, although it's not quite, late on Tuesday. So I've had that night and yesterday to go through it, and I'm not sure when you received the full list, but I sense you've gone through it with your caucus and discussed, etc. I've had very little time to do that, so I feel it's something of a disadvantage, although I have produced a list and gone through it with various experts in the field and my caucus members, but patently, I would want to take any final decision. I have to take any final decision back to my caucus for sign-off. Thank you.
Without that, Honourable Colour Barnett, like I said, we are from that meeting, all of us. We received it on that day. Of course, the consultations that you wanted to do within that period. We were of the same understanding there that the timelines we have are a bit hectic. So I can confirm that a number of us even experienced problems with just getting through the link, and we had to do as advised in the committee, call committee support to also indicate how do we get to that point. So I do appreciate the challenges that may have been there, and as you consider a list that you put forward, we will understand it's from within those constraints, like all other parties on the array. We do take note of what you want to place on the record. Thank you. Can we then proceed, Honourable Members?
Thank you, Honourable. Thank you, Honourable Chair, once again. I just want to well, before, let me request that I will not switch on my camera due to poor connectivity on my area. Chair, without wasting any time, let me shoot straight to the list that the subcommittee agreed upon. I will start with candidate number one. Candidate number one is Ramukumba. I'm not sure about the gender. candidate number 6, Mohlala Molotsi Mamodupi, it's a female. Candidate Maimela, candidate number 57, it's Maimela David, a male. Please bear with me, I might pronounce wrongly some of the names, honorable members. Candidate number 37, Palane Jack, male. And stop me if I'm rushing. Candidate number 95, Hon Renee Carol Cynthia, a female. Candidate number 98, Cooper. Candidate number 7, Stempel Cynthia Agnes Soraya, a female. Candidate number 11, Kuvele Mbeki Thandeka, a female. Candidate number 23, Makhakhe Pena Tomi. Candidate number 12, Tipanyane Feliso, a male. Candidate number 13, Zamisa Zolile, a male. I hope I'm not rushing, honorable members. Candidate number 48. Candidate number 48, Langa Zita, a male. Candidate number 82, Matthew Zolani, also a male. Candidate number 58, Halima Muhuba, a male. Candidate number 76, Motaung Ria Rabezo, a female. Candidate number 77, Mdimbe Lumko, a male. Candidate number 78, Majokana Makahali, a female. Sometimes when you just stay with me, bear with me, honorable members. This is up and down. I said candidate. Candidate number 77. Where am I now? Candidate number 77 is Timbe Lumko, a male. Candidate 78, Majokana Makahali, a female. I think I'm repeating this too. Candidate 62 is Kweya Kushu Fundiswa, a female. Candidate 83, Mta Nomazulu, I'm not sure about the gender. Candidate 85, Kate Makwanya, a female. Candidate 88, Dolobi Nkosana, a male. Candidate 89, Khoza Reinek Magugu, a male. Candidate 92, Baji Nomvuyiso, female. Candidate 90, Ndima Gugu, a female. Candidate 97, Green Bernard Quinton Email, candidate 107, Van Heerden Oscar Email, candidate 110, Magdalene Munfami, a female, candidate 111, Magu Ntine Elizabeth, I think it's a female, candidate 112, Mkunu Ngolisi, candidate 118, Tedu Mpo, a female, candidate 99, Mshabangu Tembile, female, candidate 101, Lamini Solomoni Moferefere, candidate 103, Taya Sandika, a female, candidate 108, Titi Mandisa, a female, candidate 109, Kunz Lien, a female, candidate 110, Munfami Magdalene, a female, I think this one is repeated. Candidate 114, Sikunyana Yuvon Yolelwa, a female. Candidate 113, Magodiri Mogomosi Jacob, a female. Candidate 115, Mayeba Lindiwe Jacqueline, a female. Candidate 116, Diabeso Letabo Tebe, a male. Candidate 119, Mangochwa Gobani, a male. Candidate 5, Bapela. Candidate 5, Bapela Ntoreng Pinky, a female. Candidate 16, Makokodi Tado, a male. Candidate 22, Bokaba Shedrek, a male. Candidate 23, Makake Kwena Tommy Thomas, a male. Candidate 25, Fagude Tembisa, a female. Candidate, the last candidate is candidate Kruger Franz. I think it's a male. That is the last one. That is the end of the list, the shortlisted list by the subcommittee of the NSC. Thank you very much, Chair. Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mutendu, and thank you for your comment. Democratic Alliance.
Thank you, Chair. I have a list of 20 that I am keen to have included. There we go. I didn't get the number of Kruger off your list, although I believe he's on mine somewhere. So that wasn't on the ANC list. That final one, the final number wasn't read out. So let me start from the top. These are not graded in order, as it were, of preference. They're simply choices from the list. Number 37 is Jack Pahlane. It's down as both number 17 and 29. It's Dr. Renee Carroll Horn. Number 47, Patricia Magopeni. number 118 in Port Zedu, number 7, that's Cynthia Stimple, number 22 is Dr. Shadrach Bukaba, number 2 is Mr. Ashley Lachu, number 12 is Advocate Tipanyane, number 4 is Ms. Sandika Daya, number 97 is Mr. Bernard Green, number 92 is Ms. Nomvuiso Batai, number 105 is Mr. Zwelihle Mabanjwa, number 80 is Mr. Paris Mashile, number 93 is Ms. Joy Matyumza, M-A-T-Y-U-M-Z-A. Number 59 is Lance Rothschild. Number 38, oh, there's the number, 38, Professor Kruger. Number 35, Mr. McCarty. Number 14, Mr. Monchiwa Mushanye. Number 15, Mr. Frederick Falcon. And number 45, Mr. Trevor Omerod. That's my 20, and that's the only list I would like to put forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Colonel Bennett. May I then invite Honorable Mr. F from the AFF.
Thanks, Chairperson. Greetings to the honourable members and everyone who is present. Chair, I will also like to indicate that as the caucus of the EFF, we haven't sat yet and discussed the names, and I'm sure that Honourable Bambo will send to Ms. Poshia. Thanks, Chair. I'm not going to say too much. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
EFF. I'll then check if the Honorable from the IFP, Honorable Matos, whether I can hear us.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I can hear you. I would firstly raise the fact that I had not looked at the summarized CVs. I just browsed through because I saw an email yesterday from Portia that we'll receive the link with the proper CVs and CVs of everyone. But that link seemed to have a lot of problems. We couldn't get through, so I just went through the summarized CVs and. I did not get to 36, but I will just read it through. And I did not do the candidate number 98. I just shortlisted according to the information that I had only. So I hope that the staff will help me in terms of allocating the candidate numbers. Mine goes like this. Number one is Mr. Ramukumba Katutelo Mike. Number two is Ms. Daya Sandika. Number three is Ms. Bapela Ntswareng Pinky. Number four is Ms. Mushala Mulaudzi. Number five is Mr. Zamisa Zolile. Number six is Dr. Renee. And number seven is Ms. Tobisa Mashikwani. And Mr. Palani Jack Howard. And Mr. Fagude Tembisa. Mr. Munyati Lemuhang, yeah, and Ms. Mukhupeng Patiswa, Mr. Zita Langa, a doctor, I don't know this name, but it's Dr. Junius Amalai, something like that, yes. Please, you will help me with the name. I don't have the candidate numbers. Mr. Mulamu Tato and Ms. Musala Tulufela and Ms. Kadi Palesa and Mr. Mudau Benedict and Mr. Maimela David and Mr. Muhuba Khalema and there's Linda Golding. I don't know whether it's a female or male. Dr. Mulambazo Nandi and Dr. Mzileni Mihlali and Dr. Lepere Refilwe, who is a female, and also Ms. Mutaung Riarabeto and Ms. Mda Nomazulu and Ms. Mkwanya Kate and Ms. Tanjekwayo Nelsile and Ms. Ndima Kuku Fortunate and Ms. Baki Nomvuyiso. And my last one is Ms. Makiumza Nwabisa Joy. Thanks, Chief.
Thank you, Honorable Machozi from the IFP. Maybe what we would need is to just get an indication on the time that Com Support needs to put up the spreadsheet with the names. Of course, noting what the EFF would have placed.
If I may, Chair.
Yes.
And the honourable members, I'm not too sure if we can be afforded 10 minutes of your time, if that's all possible. We just need to. All that we did was basically to where there were numbers, candidate numbers that were mentioned. We actually captured the actual numbers, so we just need to, you know, take the name and translate them into the spreadsheet. There might have been very few discrepancies, but we tried a little bit best to capture everything. So if Chair can allow us about 10 minutes of your time, just to populate everything into the spreadsheet, I think that should suffice, Chair.
Okay. Honourable Kola Barnett. I see your hand.
Sorry, Chair, I'm just watching the time. Yes. Obviously, we have to be in our caucuses at 10 o'clock.
Yes.
So time is short to put the pressure on people like that while they collate this list. You know, there are obviously many names that appear across all three lists. So perhaps we should give them that time and pick it up again during the 1 o'clock meeting. Just a proposal.
Yeah, I hear your proposal, Honorable Kola Barnett, and I take it that it's not a bad proposal given what we have to manage here. That will still allow them until 10 to, let's see what they are able to bring, and may agree at that point that maybe we ask the committee support to also just get us an extended time, because we are also needed in the house sitting this afternoon. So we'll just have to check if we cannot take the committee later on, because it is just the adoption of the report of the subcommittee, and that we use that 1 o'clock meeting to actually finalize. So let's give it up until 10 to 5 and then get back and consider that proposal. But it's not a bit. Thank you.
Chair, Honorable Chair,
Honorable Timbo,
and I just want to second a proposal made by Honorable Member from the DA.
Yes. Yes, like I said, we'll have to consider that. Let's see up until 10 to what they bring, and then we can, in the meantime, work on getting the committee properly post the city, just for that. But
Chair, if I may, if you allow me.
Chair? Chair,
I'm sure he's talking to himself again. Chair, unmute.
On my side, it's so good to be unmuted, so I don't know. It might be power issue. I'm unmuted on my side, so I've been talking.
You were talking to yourself again.
Yeah. So, sorry, Honorable Bachel. So I was just saying, I did hear Honorable Tim, and I was saying let's just wait for committee support to get back, but in the meantime, work on post the sitting for that 1 hour committee adoption of the report, and at the 1 o'clock one, we used to complete the actual shortlisting from the subcommittee side. It's unless then I've missed anything else, but that's what I communicated.
If I may, Chair, if you allow me.
Yes, Dr. Mitubi.
I was trying to maybe to piggyback on the suggestion of the honourable members that maybe the second meeting would give us a much more time to collate, given that we are yet to receive as well, the list from the EFF that you also need to collect. So I was going to, if allowed, that we look into the next meeting with the collected list, if that's all possible.
I don't think members would have a problem with that, because we want to do it thoroughly, and that we leave no one behind. So if you really think that the time you have given yourselves, you'd not be able to do a proper job, I think members could consider this, that we reconvene at 1. Of course, the only advice I would have would be for members to really keep their list so that it's easy to compare when you put up the list. And this is how the list would be presented, honorable members, so that it's transparent. We would have the names from each of the parties. and whether common names probably use color coding so that we do not change the list submitted by parties through a consultation. But at the back of the mind, honorable members, to remember the principle we agreed upon, because I listened to you as you were presenting names, that as a matter of principle we have agreed on those that are current serving who have been nominated again, that to consider those. So I've heard you as you were giving your list, so just keep that also at the back of your mind. Do you agree then that we really reconvene at one, we get presented to the list at the time? I would ask that they have please make sure that Honorable Tambo responds, because if we get to that meeting at one and we do not have a response, we'll take it to have been covered by inputs made by other honorable members, honorable members from the EFF.
Yes, yes, Chair, agreed. Thank you.
Thank you. So honorable members will then, of course, attend at this point for us to reconvene at one. Is it one, Mr. W? The final approval?
Yes, Chairperson, it is 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. So we'll reconvene at one. New link or same link?
New link, Chair. We're going to distribute it now. Yes.
Okay. Please send it on time. Thank you. Sir. Thanks, honorable members, for the understanding. We're together in this. We'll get through it. See you at once.
Yes, Chair.